So it's a privilege to be with you, and especially on Pentecost Sunday, the birth of the church, and to celebrate what it means to be the church together. Now, that's what the book of Acts does. It tells us the story of the church, so you really can't talk about... I'm loud, aren't I? That's way more of my voice than I ever want to hear. It tells us the story of the church, and you can't talk about the church without reading Acts. And so this summer we're going to read Acts together, and we're going to start at the beginning, Acts chapter 1. So if you have a Bible and want to turn with me, we'll take a look at the first eight verses, and then I'll pick up in chapter 2 in a few moments, and we'll look at a couple of verses there. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you would restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the brothers of the monastery went to Abba Joseph, the old wise leader of the monastery, and he said to him, Abba, as much as I am able, I say a prayer, I practice silence, I keep a little simple rule of life. What else should I do? And the old man stood up and he stretched his hands toward heaven and his fingers became like 10 torches. And he said to his young friend, if you wish, you can become all flame. If you wish, you can become all flame. Now, we Methodists have an interesting relationship with the Holy Spirit. We love the story of John Wesley's heart being strangely warmed. You guys know that story? He was in his early 30s, and he went to a prayer meeting, and he said, during that meeting, he said, I felt my heart strangely warm, and that I did trust in God and God alone for my salvation. It was a moment of assurance for him. You may not know this, but how many of you have ever been in a Pentecostal church? Anybody attended or visited a Pentecostal? Okay, so that's a little different than what we do here, right? Slightly, depending on the Pentecostal church you're in. Did you know that Pentecostalism has its roots in Methodism? That if you were to draw the family tree of the church, you'd have to have the Wesleyan movement and Methodism, and then a branch of that would be Pentecostalism. How we got from us to them, I have no idea, except that it's the work of the Holy Spirit. So we're good with a heart strangely warmed, being all flame. That makes us pause. Praying for the Holy Spirit to come upon us and move within us is a dangerous thing to do. If we pray that prayer, come Holy Spirit, it will change our lives. It'll change the life of the church, and it will change the life of the communities that Spirit-filled people inhabit. If we want to remain in control, if we want to set the agenda, if we want to stay safe, if we want to practice a little rule, say a prayer, practice silence, keep our thoughts clean, remain respectable, orderly, proper, have just enough Christianity that we maintain appearances, then we probably shouldn't invite the Holy Spirit to come. Because it would most certainly do more than warm our hearts. It would change our lives in surprising ways, open the door to the life that really is life, and make us radically different, like Jesus even. What if we were bold enough to pray that prayer, that world-altering, dangerous prayer? Just three simple words, come Holy Spirit. I had people who prayed this prayer over me, parents who had me baptized, took me to church every Sunday, Sunday school teachers who took their vows really seriously, and they taught me the faith week in and week out, youth leaders like Andy who prayed this prayer over me, pastors who prayed it into my life. And one day, really not knowing what I was doing, I started praying this prayer and inviting God to come and take over and remake and mold me the way God chose to do. And it set my life on a trajectory that I had never imagined or envisioned. So people like to ask me, David, when did you know that you wanted to be a pastor? And my response to that is, at least in my head, I've never known that I wanted to be a pastor, right? This is not what I chose to do. Come, Holy Spirit. It opens you up to a future you can't envision. I think sometimes we think that if we take Jesus seriously, it will be limiting. It'll hold you back. It will become a list of you can't do this and you shouldn't do that and don't do this. When in reality, what it actually does when we take Jesus seriously and we pray this prayer, inviting the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, what it actually does is it opens us to an expansive adventure far more amazing than anything we could ever create for ourselves. One of the problems, I think, with the contemporary church, at least in the West, is that we love the lives we've made for ourselves more than we love life with Christ. And so we cling to those well-manicured lives and proper churches with all our might. The problem is, with hearts and minds and churches closed tight like clenched fists, there's no room for God to come and move among us. No room for the fresh wind of the Spirit to blow through our lives and make them something beautiful and new. When it comes to discipleship, many Christians, I find, they settle for far too little. We're content majoring in minors. We have warm hearts, but unchanged lives. We're satisfied with making a few little simple repairs here and there, when what God really wants to do with us is completely renovate us, make us new top to bottom. And so to avoid being almost Christian, that's what Wesley called it. He has a sermon called Almost Christian. So to avoid being almost Christian, he says what we have to learn to do is to invite the Spirit to come within us and make us all together Christ followers. And so what would it mean to boldly pray for you, to boldly pray, come Holy Spirit? What would it mean to invite the Spirit into your life in a way that opens you up to the transformation and the adventure that God has waiting for you? I had a New Testament professor once remark that for him, the proof of the resurrection is not the New Testament stories about an empty tomb. He would jokingly say, a missing body is no big deal. What was for him proof of the resurrection, that Easter is true, is the transformation that happened in the hearts and minds and lives of Jesus' closest friends. If you remember, between Good Friday and Easter, that Saturday, the Gospels tell us they're locked away behind closed doors out of fear. After Easter and the resurrection, after the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out upon them at Pentecost, they become alive, passionate, bold witnesses for the gospel. So much so that all of them are willing to give their lives, literally to risk their lives, for the sake of the message that Jesus had entrusted to them. How do you explain the difference, the transformation? From hiding in fear to boldly, in the face of the Roman Empire, proclaiming a message that they are forbidden to preach, except for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I love that account in the book of Acts. There was the church minding its own business, doing churchy things. And then Luke tells us there was this sound like a strong gale force wind. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Like wildfire, the Spirit began to spread through their ranks. Peter stood up. Of course, it's going to be Peter to say something. And Peter says, "These people aren't drunk as you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." They obviously don't live in a college town. It's only 9 o'clock. I guess if it were 10, maybe they could have expected them to be drunk. But by 9, nobody's drunk. It's what the prophets spoke of. "I'll pour out my Spirit on every kind of people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will see dreams, and your young men will have visions. I'll pour out my Spirit on those who serve me, who are my witnesses, men and women both. And whoever calls on the name of God will be saved." My friends, praying this prayer, inviting the Spirit of God to come upon us and within us, doesn't mean that we'll be speaking in tongues or running up and down the aisles of the church, waving our hands. But what it does mean is that we are open to the transforming power of God to blow through our lives, to clean out the clutter and the mess that distract us from what God's calling us to be and do. That it will disrupt our old ideas about what the church is called to be and do, and will fill us with holy fire for the work of the gospel. It's really another way of saying, "Christ Jesus, I give you my heart, my hands, my feet, my mouth, my mind, my emotions, my will. Use me." One of the things I love most about our church is our willingness to take a risk every now and then, to bear witness to the gospel, because to be bold witnesses for the gospel, because it can be a risky thing to pray that prayer, to invite the Spirit to come upon us. Jesus said, "You'll be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." In other words, Jerusalem, those places that are right next door. Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, a little further away. Samaria is that strange, odd place nobody goes. We're not sure if they're really people of faith, but God calls us there too. And then to the ends of the earth. In other words, wherever God calls you to be or sends you in life, we're called in those places to be witnesses. I'm grateful that we're a church that will take risks occasionally to do that, to preach the good news that God so loved this world that God sent God's only Son that we might have life. Because for a lonely, disheartened people weighed down by their sin and guilt and shame, that's good news, right? That God so loves you that God's willing to give away God's very best for you and to set you on a path that leads to life. That's a message the disciples believed was worth dying for when they dared to pray, "Come, Holy Spirit." I'm grateful that we'll take those risks too. I'm thinking of a young man whose life has been forever changed, who would have been a statistic, but is now serving our Lord this day, right now, this very moment, is doing the work of the church, the work of the gospel, in part because JB and Laura prayed this prayer and risked moving into the community to share the love of God. I think of a young woman who connected to Luke and King Street Church, was very upfront. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a person of faith at all. Just this past Easter, in the middle of a small group setting, confessed, I believe I'm following Jesus. All because Luke and others risked praying, come Holy Spirit. There's a young man working in our firewood ministry. He came because he needed credit for class. Probably expected, you know, the only fires I'm going to encounter out there are the ones that Gary cooks hot dogs on, or that we start in people's fireplaces. At the end of the semester, he came to Gary. Gary knew he needed his form signed, and he said, I can't let you sign my form because there's so much more going on out here than community service for a class credit. He experienced the life-changing fire of the Holy Spirit at the firewood ministry, of all places, because a small part of God's kingdom called Boone United Methodist Church dared to pray into his life, come Holy Spirit. It's Pentecost, the birthday of the church. Now, we can say a little prayer, sing a few songs, maybe even have our heart strangely warmed. Or if we dare and are bold enough to ask for it, we can become all flame. Can you imagine that? Bold witnesses who sit back and watch God change the world. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come disrupt our well-ordered lives. Come make us bold witnesses to the love of Christ. Make us all flame, that others might see and know that you are God. And with you, there is life and life abundant. Amen.